Hello and welcome to We the People. The recent execution of Ajmal Kasab, the principal convict in the Mumbai attacks case, was ironically accompanied by a larger global debate on whether capital punishment should continue or not. At the United Nations, a majority of countries actually said it was time to abolish the death penalty. India, however, along with several South Asian countries, voted against this resolution and argued in favor of the continuance of capital punishment. As we look back at the execution of Kasab and we look ahead at the approaching anniversary of the Parliament attack case, we've had the principal opposition party saying, why has there been a continued delay in the Afzal Guru case when it comes to the Parliament attack? At the same time, you've had a panel of former judges write to the president talking about how at least in 13 cases, the Supreme Court erroneously passed the death sentence. On We the People today, we're asking whether it's time for India to step back and review its position on capital punishment. I'd like to start with Ujjwal Nikam, because we've seen you, Mr. Nikam, as the very vocal public prosecutor in the Ajmal Kasab case. There are people who have argued philosophically that capital punishment, no matter how grave the crime, should not be applied because it's a regressive award philosophically. Did you or have you ever, in all your years, paused to consider whether the state's punishment should be to take a life?
I, for one, am of the opinion that we must continue the death penalty. There are two reasons. Death penalty in jurisprudence, it is a deterrent sentence, and it is not the sentence recommended or prescribed only to the very criminal, but also give a strong signal to the like-minded people. Now, unfortunately, in our country, I must say that the execution of a death penalty is so delayed, therefore this debate has been cropped up. So we must have certain radical changes in our constitution.
In how long it is?
Yes, article. And so far as the pardoning procedure is concerned, whether the president of our country should be under legal obligation to dispose of within time limit or not. Yeah.
And in Kasab's case, one of the arguments that you made was that there wasn't any remorse.
Absolutely, there was no repentance, no remorse. In fact, the Kasab, while killing the innocent person, he was enjoying the killing. I don't say that we our country is a barbaric country, so tooth for tooth or flesh for flesh. No, I don't say it like that. But for a certain category of the criminals, death penalty is must.
Mr. Subramaniam, you actually represented the Maharashtra government in the Ajmal Kasab case as well. But while representing this case, was there ever a flicker of doubt in your head on the philosophical debate that arises out of capital punishment per se?
There is room for a philosophical debate. It's not out of place at all. The philosophical debate is that do you have objectively identifiable criteria on the basis of which judges can award death sentence, and do you have, shall we say, absence of such criteria, which can lead to somewhat subjective impressions which enable judges to award death sentence. So when we argued the Kasab case with Mr. Nikam, I told him that we will follow a slightly philosophical approach, which is that first of all, it is a case where due process has got to be observed, and we made out like a table, that these are the factors, one of which, of course, is the gravity of the crime, the number of people, the lack of motive, the kind of people who were attacked, then the continuing velocity of attack. And then we put some kind of a notional value and asked the judge that let's put all this together on the one side. Let us see, is there anything which he can speak up for himself? Yes, he's young.
Yeah.
Yes, he's not particularly educated, but even we put forward this as a prosecutor and said that when you look at all this, there is an inexorability about the imposition of death sentence.
Yeah.
In other words, what I would like to say, Barka, is that a death sentence must be retained given the Indian context, because it does act as a psychological deterrent, whether we like it or not. But when you impose the sentence, the judge must arrive at a conclusion that there is no other penalty which is commensurate.
So it can't be emotional, it can't be impetuous.
Yes, it has to be almost mathematical.
What happens then when politics takes over? Kasab, many people admiringly actually conceded, was done in a top secret cover, which was perhaps the right way to do it. But you had the BJP almost immediately saying, all right, what happened to Afzal Guru? Now, politics, whether it's in the Rajiv Gandhi case in Tamil Nadu, whether it's in Afzal Guru in Jammu and Kashmir, whether it's in the Bhullar case in Punjab, politics seems to be determining choices and not mathematical precision.
I think what Gopalji is saying is the fact of mathematical precision, I said that is in the pronouncement of the judgment. And once the judgments are delivered, I don't think politics creeps in into trying to change those judgments. Unfortunately or fortunately, we do get into this whole debate of politics, especially in certain cases which have a political angle to it, in which terror could be involved, in which activities against certain leaders could be involved. Whatever it may be, I think we must try and keep politics out of this whole game. Because remember, if we want to be called a civilized society, then just as our instruments of trying to punish anybody should be as perfect as possible, once a judgment has been given, we must both be humane as well as be strong enough to punish those who need to be punished. And I broadly agree with what Gopalji is saying. I think death penalty is something that we do need to accept. And I think that is something in our current reality of India, something we must accept. We must also be sure that hankering for something, because it may give you a few political gains here or there, is an unfortunate aspect.
Do you accept the argument that impact on law and order when something is politically volatile? So that is the argument that has been made in the Bhullar case in Punjab, in the Rajiv Gandhi case in Tamil Nadu, and the Afzal Guru case in Jammu and Kashmir, that it's politically precarious. Do you think that's a good reason to step back and say, keep this person in prison for life, don't kill him?
No, not in changing the sentence, but unless, of course, the president decides to do so for whatever reasons.
Chandan, why the immediate clamour from the BJP on the Afzal Guru case within minutes of the Kasab decision?
Because I think there has been a grave failure on the part of the state to carry out a sentence that has been established and re-established. There was no reason why the matter has been kept pending for so long in the name of the pending mercy petition. This provision of the mercy petition is often used by the government of the day to introduce an element of politics.
But now you have this precedent of assemblies actually passing unanimous resolutions on cases that have been determined by law.
I think that's absolutely irrelevant. It's obiter and should be dismissed out of hand. They have no business interfering. There's a due process of law that has been, that has established a crime. And in most cases, I have very little reason to doubt the claim that Supreme Court really takes meticulous care in awarding death sentences. Some erroneous decisions may have happened, but I would say the vast majority of cases, decisions are reached with the kind of mathematical precision that Mr. Subramanian was talking about.
There is so you're saying the mercy petition itself is something you don't agree with?
If there is a mercy petition provision, the president must allow only his or her conscience in this particular matter.
And not be advised by the
now,
government.
Then when it goes back to the cabinet, you are throwing it open into the political arena.
So the current structure where the president is actually refers it back to the government is something you don't agree with?
I think that should be scrapped. But one decision that the president cannot take is to defer indefinitely.
I mean, sorry, Bakka. Yeah. I mean, it's a very important point which I think Chandan has made.
Yeah.
Particularly in the context of the parliament attack case. I happen to be a prosecutor in that case. I must say that the same kind of mathematical exactitude was also involved in the parliament attack case. But I think people must never, never forget that we must pay homage to all those security agencies who acted in time.
You spoke about mathematical precision, Mr. Subramanian, but yet we did see one of the key accused, S.A.R. Gilani, being acquitted by the highest court of the land. Vrinda, you have argued, of course, one philosophically against capital punishment, even as applied to Ajmal Kasab. But for those who say that the parliament attack case, now the verdict, the last word has been spoken by the Supreme Court. And it's politics that is delaying the operationalization, as it were, of the Supreme Court decision. What would you say?
I think it's really wrong, and I think that is the politics that BJP indulges in, to equate Kasab with Afzal Guru. Ajmal Kasab's case and Afzal Guru's case stand on very different footings. And I think there's a deliberate blurring that is taking place here constantly. Apart from the fact that Afzal Guru was not holding a gun and did not kill anybody or shoot anybody. Secondly, there continued to be a conversation that was there fair trial. It is in fact recorded in the judgment of the Supreme Court, the confusion over the availability of the counsel. Thirdly, he has spoken in his statement of accuse about torture. There has been another television channel that actually did a sting operation on the person. It was shown only once. It disappeared thereafter. But it corroborated the story of Afzal. There are many, many things at play over here. the last word on Afzal Guru has not yet been spoken. The last word takes place when a mercy petition is rejected.
So you're saying the Supreme Court verdict, you're saying the Supreme Court verdict is not the last word, it is the
not
president's decision.
Not under the Indian Constitution.
Okay, Chandan, I'll allow you. Now, can I just add a question? The question is this. She's making the important distinction that in one case, this man, this terrorist, came in from Pakistan with a gun. And in this case, what Afzal Guru has been held guilty of is being an accomplice to the plot. So should there be a difference in the approach?
Barkha, the point is the time for all these arguments is long over. The Supreme Court has taken everything of this kind into account.
On the point of equivalence, do you want to just... Yeah.
No, equivalence is not material. You see, a murder as opposed to manslaughter, the difference is there is conspiracy. And therefore, Afzal Guru was a conspirator. Don't keep talking about the BJP. What has that BJP got to do? We are not responsible for which judgment Supreme Court has passed.
Yeah. Sandeep, and you agree with that? Because I want to see the Congress position is actually different.
As Brinda ji is saying, the last word in terms of the legal process is when the mercy petition goes up to the president. If it is rejected, the government's motion comes in. I don't know where exactly.
But the president does refer it back to the government. So the government has to take
a
view on it.
As she said, let that process
take
place.
So what is the Congress view on it?
There is no Congress view on it. I think the view is that the law will take its own course in case there is...
But you will have to send a file back to the president.
Not me. That the government
you as in the Home Minister.
Neither will the Congress. The government will send that file back. And remember, it's not that governments are always governed by what certain individuals in the party they come from sometimes take.
Okay. Justice Mudgal, there are two, three strands to this conversation. We have seen very prominent judges writing to the president saying the Supreme Court made a mistake in 13 cases. The concern in the death sentence is the irrevocability of it. That if there has been a mistake, my God, the consequences. Your thoughts, sir?
The parliament has mandated the death sentence to stay. So as long, I'm opposed to it. I was a lawyer in the petition in Bachchan Singh's case, which challenged the death sentence. And one judge out of five stuck it down, Justice Bhagwati. Four judges upheld it.
Yeah.
But I'll start with what Brinda said, that Afzal Guru's case and Kasab's case are different. I'm sorry, I do not agree with her, though I'm against death sentence. The reason is this. The final word is of the Supreme Court.
What if the president overturns it?
The president can not really overturn it.
I mean, not overturn, commuted.
On the president thing, I think our previous presidents have been very, very... they have been not doing their duty of taking a decision correctly. Right. When you go to a high post, you have to take unpopular decisions also.
Sir, you're philosophically opposed to capital punishment, but you do not accept Vrinda Grover's argument that Kasab and Afzal Guru are not, you know, that the equivalence should not be drawn because their roles were different.
You can't pick up pieces of evidence from one case.
Ex post facto.
No, and compare it with the other fact. The final arbiter, the Supreme Court. And there are stringent tests laid down in Bachchan Singh's case, which upheld the death sentence, making it the rarest of rare cases. And please remember, even though there may be 90 or more convicts in India who are under death sentence, by and large in India, the actual execution is very, very few. I think only 6 or 7. So I think the Indian conscience does not easily permit a death sentence to be executed. And secondly, all presidents must be time-bound, let's say 6 months or so, by which they should take decision in every case.
Okay, quick rebuttal and then Gopal and then the others. Yes.
We have evidence that the Indian Supreme Court has committed error. Two people have been hung, Rauji and Surja Ram, hung in 96 and 97 by a judgment that is later declared by the Supreme Court to be a per incurium judgment, that is a judgment passed in error or ignorance. There are other people still on death row as per those judgments. So certainly we can see here that this is a system which is fallible, that can make errors. However, an execution is irreversible. The Supreme Court itself has said now in the fourth judgment from 2006 onward, this was given 2 days before execution of Kasab. Therefore, in our respectful opinion, not only does the aggravating and mitigating circumstances approach need a fresh look, but the necessity of adopting this approach also needs a fresh look in the light of the conclusion Bachchan Singh. They are saying this is a judge-centric sentencing, not a principle-centric sentencing. It's arbitrary, it's subjective, and it may have a caste and class bias.
Can I just get Gopal?
Yes. I think two things need to be said. One is that, of course, you know, this is really not the right forum to go into the question of facts about the Parliament attack case. But I think Vrinda is right, the roles were different. But the role of a conspirator can be as effective for the purpose of the final consummation of the crime. While it is true that some of the decisions have said that they have been rendered per incurium, I think there is always a remedy. And according to me, there are situations like this. I remember one case in the 90s when there was a judgment of the Rajasthan High Court which directed that someone should be hung in a public playground. And I remember at that time, I brought this to the attention of the then Attorney General, and I told him that I thought it was violative of Article 21. We prepared a 3-page petition, and at 4 o'clock, the then Attorney General, Mr. Parasaran, went to the court, mentioned the matter, and the execution was suspended.
So both of you seem to be arguing, in a sense, that there are enough corrective systems in place.
Yes, even in this case, even in the case, let's say, which Rinda mentioned, of those instances where, now we must understand, the error has not taken place in appreciating the evidence. That is, the conclusions in relation to the crime are correct. If there is a misdirection,
it is a
misdirection in the application of the principle for awarding the death sentence. In which event, according to me, the court is not powerless, an attorney general is not powerless, you can actually revisit it, you can apply the correct principle, and you can still see whether justice...
So we have a few questions thrown up. We have near consensus on the fact that the president's decision should be time-bound. You don't agree?
Well, I just want to throw it back. So if we had a time-bound decision, not only would we have Rauji and Surya Ram hung by per incurium judgments, we would have actually had 13 more people hung before the Supreme Court realized error.
So you're saying it's okay for it to be as long as it takes? The Supreme Court
took a decade to realize that the judgments were wrong.
I think that's an argument for abolition of death sentence.
It is, but yes.
No, and I support that. But as long as it exists on the statute book, judges are bound to follow it.
So you're saying it's for Parliament, Sir Justice Mudgal. You're saying it's for Sandeep and Chandan to go back to Parliament and change the law. As long as it's on the books, it has to be applied. I'm saying Justice Mudgal makes the point that it's not for the courts to change the law. Do you believe that in India there should be, just quickly before I take this to Nikhil, time for a philosophical relook? At the United Nations, you've had the majority of the world arguing against it.
Doesn't matter.
The 110 countries.
The situation in India, the state of crime, the existence of terrorism and other forms of heinous crimes, this rules out any relook at the provision of a death sentence.
You're saying the law holds good.
Okay. And this is not time to rethink.
Nikhil, you're somebody who lost your sister Sabina in the Mumbai attacks. And I know that over the years when a lot of people were clamoring for instant justice, you were saying, no, instant justice isn't going to deliver my sister back to me. Interestingly, your brother-in-law Shantanu on a different program said to me that he actually wanted his children to... He actually said this. He said, some days I think I want my children to meet Kasab, you know, in much the same way that we had a visit by Priyanka Gandhi to Nalini. So where were you coming in on this debate from?
As a family, we've maintained a similar sort of stance, which is that there is a due process of law. And irrespective of whatever happens, and in this case for me, it was brutal for Shantanu. It was brutal. For Arundhati and Anirudh, perhaps it was more brutal than anything imaginable. And for us, closure comes when due process of law is complete.
So did the Kasab execution bring you that closure?
In a sense, yes. But also in a sense, no. Because I'll never forget sitting with Mum that morning. None of us were following it.
Because it had become unbearable to follow it?
Because it had become a song and dance, I felt. And I remember the news sort of came in, and I remember someone actually writing to me on Facebook of all places and saying, you know, something very derogatory about the whole Kasab thing. And I immediately went to Mum and I said, so this is what's happened this morning. And her first reaction was, oh God, his poor mother. And that sort of played up with my mind too, that at the end of the day, his hanging hasn't made my life better. Arundhati doesn't have a mother still.
But would you rather that he did not hang?
quite frankly, we are just happy that the process of law
that
went
the law
through.
Has taken whatever the that, law is law, has completed the, itself.
But if you were to ask me at a personal sort of level, I wish there was a provision. I wish there was a way to have actually sent him back and said, 166 Indians died. Could we please have 166 prisoners of war, sailors caught up in your damn jails? Can 166 people get their families back? I think that would be far more valuable.
So more could have been, in a sense, in terms of justice. You would have wanted.
Yeah. Look, I'm talking about two totally different things. I'm talking about justice on one hand, and yes, justice was served.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. That's what the rule of law of our country says. I'm very proud of India. I'm very proud of the fact that for once it was quick. It could have been quicker, but it was quick in Indian terms. But at the end of it all, am I really proud?
I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying. Antara Devsen, you wrote an article talking about how you found in some of the responses to Kasab's execution vulgar. What did you find vulgar? What else should have happened?
No, the vulgarity was not in the post-Kasab hanging situation. You know, the vulgarity was in the way that we were paying for Kasab's blood. Even today, when we play with it as if, you know, we've done something. The Home Minister of the country has actually said that he's not weak because he has been able to hang Kasab. Now, it does not prove whether you're weak or strong. If the law takes its course, a terrorist who is caught with a gun in his hand is hanged, that's the way our justice system is.
Can I just get Sandeep to come in there? Because the cynical reading also was that the government felt the need to do this because for too long it had been accused of a certain kind of wimpishness on national security issues, and it was seeking to change the narrative that even in this decision, politics was not kept out of it.
I mean, with all the respect to our Home Minister and others, I mean, this was a process that should have taken place. I don't think it was, a process that showed anybody to be brave or strong. I think it's, if anybody is brave or strong, it's the India's judicial system. And I think our law enforcement agencies, and something was taken to its conclusion. And I think it's not a thing to gloat over, but
is it a sign of political strength? Is it a sign? Is it how you should measure political strength?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just want to bring Ujjwal Nikam in back after we hear Iftikhar's story. We've had the Lajpat Nagar blast case, where actually the gentleman sitting next to me from Kashmir wasn't accused, but the court acquitted him. His brother was then put on death sentence till a higher court actually said no. The investigation has been sloppy. This case doesn't add up. And his brother right now has been acquitted of those charges as well, but is facing charges in another case, so has not yet been released. Iftikhar, aap sun rahe hain ki kya yahan debate chal rahi hai. Aapka acquittal ho gaya, ab aapke bhai ka bhi ho gaya hai, Lajpat Nagar case mein. Aap yahan ke logon ko kya batana chahenge? 14 saal aapne jail mein bataye?
14 saal to lage na.
Aap 14 saal?
Main 14 saal, mere bhai ko 17 saal lage. 17 साल के बाद उसको बताया एक्यूटेड है. जिस केस में नीचे जो लोअर कोर्ट ने हमें हमारे भाई को सज़ा दी थी, वो जिस केस में सज़ा बनती ही नहीं थी, उस केस में यहाँ के जज ऐसे हाथ खड़े करके कहते हैं, वी कांट डिलीवर जस्टिस टू यू ओपन कोर्ट में.
पर वही कोर्ट ने आपको एक्विट किया.
हमारे केस में तो 30-32 जज बदल लिए गए, क्योंकि कोई जज हमें सज़ा देने के लिए राजी नहीं था. उसके बाद हम जो भी जज आता था बदल जाता था. जो भी जज लास्ट में एसपी गर्क ने हमें सजा दे दी, बोला 50-50 करके हम आपको कर रहे हैं.
अच्छा, अब आप जो 14 साल बाद दिखले
जी,
तो यहाँ पर जो बातचीत चल रही है कि भाई कैपिटल पनिशमेंट होना या नहीं, हम में से तो किसी ने 14 साल जेल में नहीं बताया ऑन अ फॉल्स चार्ज, तो हम समझ भी नहीं सकते कि वो दर्द क्या दर्द है. तो आप यहाँ के लोगों को जो डेथ सेंटेंस है उसके बारे में आपने भी सोचा होगा
जी,
क्योंकि आपके भाई को डेथ सेंटेंस लगने वाला था, फिर कोर्ट ने बचा लिया. क्या बोलेंगे आप यहाँ लोगों को कि डेथ सेंटेंस होना चाहिए? नहीं होना,
बिल्कुल होना चाहिए,
होना चाहिए
जी. मगर ऐसे केसेस में होना चाहिए जिनमें डेथ बनती हो. जैसे आपने ये भी निठारी केस है यहाँ का, वो मेरे सामने हुआ है, मैं अंदर ही जेल में ही था. उस जैसे जानवर के लिए आप कौन सी सजा तजवीज करेंगे
या रिफॉर्म कर सकते?
तो आपको खुद का एक फॉल्स चार्ज में 14 साल आपने बिताए, लेकिन आप फिर भी कहते हैं कि डेथ सेंटेंस होना चाहिए, लेकिन जुडिशियल प्रोसेस और इन्वेस्टिगेटिव प्रोसेस जो है वो ऑनेस्ट होना चाहिए.
बिल्कुल ऑनेस्ट, चाहे हमारे केस में जैसे ही हमारा फाइनल आर्गुमेंट जिस दौरान चल रहा था उसमें जो हमारे पीपी साहब थे तो उनको कह रहे हैं जज साहब कि भाई इस केस में ये भी नहीं है, ये भी नहीं है, ये भी नहीं है। इसको कह रहा है सर इसमें इन्वेस्टिगेशन तो बहुत हुआ है, हालांकि बहुत हुआ भी था, रिजल्ट जीरो है।
आपको कभी लगा कि आप निकलेंगे जेल से?
नहीं नहीं, ऐसा कुछ नहीं लगता था, क्योंकि जिस जब हमें मतलब सौरन कांता मेहरा जी एक जज बहुत अच्छी जज थी, बहुत अच्छी लेडी थी, तो उन्होंने वो हमें कहती थी कि मैं आपके बारे में बच्चों से बात करती हूँ शाम को, और मगर मैं आपको जस्टिस नहीं दे सकती, तो इसलिए आई थ्रो दिस केस, और वो अपना केस फेंकती थी, दूसरे जज के पास जाते थे।
सो केस बदलता रहता था, कोर्ट बदलता रहता था। आज आप फ्री आदमी हैं, लगता है कि जस्टिस हैज बीन डन विद यू, क्योंकि लोग कहेंगे कि 14 साल तो आपकी जिंदगी के चले गए ना?
नहीं, ऐसा कुछ नहीं हुआ मेरे साथ, क्योंकि मैं अभी जो कोई रेपुटेटेड बिजनेस कर ही नहीं सकता, क्योंकि कश्मीर में हमारे पुलिस फाइलों में नाम है, तो वो कहते हैं हम NOC नहीं दे सकते आपको,
नो ऑब्जेक्शन सर्टिफिकेट नहीं दे सकते,
नहीं मिलती है, कैटेगोरिकली मना कर देते हैं।
ना गोपाल सुब्रमण्यम, देयर इज अ प्रॉब्लम हियर, बिकॉज़ एट वन लेवल यू कैन से दैट द सेम इंस्टीट्यूशन डिड अक्विट हिम, बट ही इज सेइंग माय लाइफ is not the same. I am constantly seen through that shroud of suspicion. His brother, if the death sentence were to be executed in haste, we would have made a mistake. What should instances like this make us pause and consider or reconsider?
No, I think this is an example which I think illustrates, shall we say, the ability of the system to do justice, because he got an acquittal.
Yes.
But it also explains the shortcoming of the system, which is the inability to see his innocence as quickly as possible. Did he have to wait for 14 years to really come to an end of his journey?
Yeah.
And that's something which has always worried me in our system, that public prosecutors have to act very independently. That's what the law expects of them. But in reality, they go along with the police versions of what is actually mentioned. Now, a prosecutor is really got to function at arm's length from the police. Perhaps it's possible that if the prosecutor did function at the first available stage, he could well have come to the conclusion that I don't think that there is any evidence against him.
So you're saying the fact that it takes so long does not necessarily mean that mistakes will be made, Justice Modgal, but it also prolongs the agony of innocent people. So there is still a reason to argue for the time-bound approach.
Time-bound approach in trial also.
And but the prosecutor.
But you must understand the difficulties of judges, the number of cases they deal with every day. You know, we compare the judge strength to the population of even sub-Saharan African countries, our ratio is worse than that.
So there just aren't enough judges.
They're not.
And that, Sandeep and Chandan, very quickly, and then Mr. Nickam, why was the rarest of rare principle applied? Because the fact is of the irrevocability of the death sentence, that a country with a conscience cannot afford to make a mistake. Many people who are against capital punishment would say it is this margin of error that you have to keep in mind. Would it not be a better solution to keep people in jail for life?
What you're saying is okay, but my thing is, when you come to high courts and supreme courts, you know, you do find justice being given. And, you know, Gopal ji said that it's somewhere below that that this problem occurs. So there is a system that is perhaps somewhere putting things right. And as the former justice said, if there are other ways in which we can improve it, if you want to increase number of judges, you want to make the judicial system better, I think that is where we need to concentrate. We as a society and as a nation are not currently in a phase where we actually need to relook at capital punishment.
Chandan, life for the rest of life would not be an alternative?
How do you guarantee that IC 814 would not be repeated if you kept him in jail? We did that with Masood Azhar, and then the plane was hijacked. Finally, to save 150 lives, the government
had to release them.
Succumbed and had to release
your government, sir.
Him, yes, our government. Yes, and I'm sure that had Sandeep's party's government been there,
they may have had no other option. I think that's
it.
Yeah.
The point, therefore, is, and he went on to establish Jaish-e-Mohammed. You must, as soon as death sentence is pronounced, I think within 7 days, the president must look into the
7 days.
Yeah, president need not take more than that time.
Take
3 months.
Now, you're saying terrorism has in fact clouded the debate over capital punishment.
No, what I said, he pointed to an Ithari case.
But
definitely
that. But Iftikhar was also a convict at a lower, or an accused rather, I'm sorry, an accused in a terrorism case. But he was found to be innocent, Sandeep.
Yes. I just want to illustrate your point when you said that terrorism has clouded this picture.
Yeah.
Remember, it's the same country that gave Phoolan Devi complete acquittal. So this very country has shown a great amount of humanity and great amount of humane approach to issues. So therefore, when we do talk about death punishment, we also have to see the context.
I feel there is a major dichotomy here. You know, they talk of the deterrent of the death punishment, and then they talk of a person like Kassab, who's on a suicide mission. Yes. Death was not punishment
That's
for him.
What he came here
and
for.
If anything, my big fear was that would it then martyrize him and lead
for
to
the fundamentalists?
So having hung Kassab, who in the government or any jurist is giving us a confirmation there will be no further terrorist attack in this country?
I think let Ujjwal Nikam take that. Let Ujjwal Nikam take that.
Firstly, all these attackers came not only killing himself or themselves, but also they have the waypoints in their GPS instrument from Karachi to Mumbai and back Mumbai to Karachi. So what was the idea in their mind?
That they were going to go back.
Yes. We have intercepted certain conversation and they ask that you keep the hostages. So what was their intention in their mind?
To go back.
I don't
okay,
agree.
I
feel, Mr. Nigam, you might have missed out on the whole dispatches, the BBC dispatches show.
No.
It was very, very evident that there was no intent for them to go
Nikhil,
back.
But Nikhil, is there a risk factor in keeping a terrorist alive? Now, Karuna ji, aapke jo husband the, ward boy the, her husband was a ward boy in a hospital in Mumbai, shot by Kassab. आपने कहा जब कसब का हैंगिंग हुआ कि अब आपको थोड़ी सी
मतलब जो जख्म है उसके ऊपर थोड़ा मरहम लगा जितना जो होना चाहिए जो अपने मुंबई में जो आके कभी भी कुछ भी करके जाता है वो सब अभी खत्म होना चाहिए जैसे मेरे बच्चे को मैं समझाती हूँ कि देखो बेटा ये हो गया अभी उसका खत्म हो गया तेरे पास जो मेरे बच्चे ने देखा था उसको मारते हुए उन्होंने जाके बोला कोर्ट में जाके बोला था कि यही है फिर भी उनको इसको इतना देर लगा है फांसी देने में सब मतलब जो जल्दी होना चाहिए हम लोग को इंसाफ जो जख्म जो मरहम लगाया थोड़े बहुत साल के बाद मिला लेकिन हुआ हम लोग के साथ थोड़ा बहुत इंसाफ हुआ
मैं आपसे एक सवाल पूछना चाहूंगी कि यहाँ पर जो निखिल हैं उनकी भी बहन मारी गई थी उसी हमले में वो ये भी सवाल उठा रहे हैं कि भाई ये आदमी तो मरने आया था तो यहाँ पे कुछ लोग कह रहे हैं कि अगर आप किसी को पूरी जिंदगी के लिए बंद कर दे लेकिन उनको फांसी ना दे तो वो ज्यादा अच्छा रहेगा
नहीं नहीं ये गलत बात है फिर उन लोग को और उनको बड़ा मिलता है ना आतंक करने के लिए और बड़ा मिलता है उन लोग को मिलता है कि हम लोग जाके इधर जाके हम लोग फटाक से कुछ भी करके आ सकते हैं किसी का घर उजाड़ के आ सकते किसी को भी रास्ते मार के आ सकते और हम लोग को जेल में है ना आराम से बैठेंगे हम लोग को खाने पीने का मिलेगा सब मिलता है लेकिन कितनों का घर बर्बाद होता है इसमें कितने का घर बर्बाद होता है और कितने जन अभी मतलब हम लोग जो हमारे पर हुआ है ना और बच्चे को संभालना और पति के बिना कैसे करने का और जिसमें उनका कोई नहीं था अपने हम लोग में हिम्मत है कि हम लोग पाकिस्तान में जाके उनको मार के आए कुछ है हम लोग में हिम्मत इतना आप लोग बड़ा क्यों दे रहे हो मैं बोल रही हूँ कि आप इतना बढ़ावा क्यों दे रहे हो उन लोग को इधर बुलाने का क्यों फांसी देने का नहीं क्यों देने का मौत के बदले मौत अभी है कोई किसी कंट्री में है कि आंख के बदले आंख और मौत के बदले मौत तो इधर भी क्यों नहीं
बहुत से देशों में नहीं भी है हा? और यही हम बातचीत कर रहे हैं गोपाल सुब्रमण्यम द थिंग अबाउट कैपिटल पनिशमेंट दैट वी हैव एक्चुअली मिस्ड टॉकिंग अबाउट इज दैट स्टैटिस्टिकली एक्चुअली द डिटरेंस हैज नेवर बीन प्रूव्ड बट इमोशनली देयर बिकम्स अ साइकोलॉजिकल नीड इन अ सोसाइटी दैट समबडी लाइक अंतरा फाइंड्स डिस्टर्बिंग बट यू हैव टू विक्टिम्स ऑफ दीज अटैक्स विद वेरी डिफरेंट इमोशनल रिस्पॉन्सेज
Well, I think, the responses of both Nikhil and the lady
Karuna
are quite different. And perhaps it's understandable. But I think this is something which is subjective. For the purpose of determining whether there should be capital punishment, I think what is important is whether this punishment is necessary for inspiring confidence in the criminal justice system. I'm talking of cases where there is
no
unimpeachable evidence, where judges scrutinize it over and over again. Consciously, unconsciously, it has worked as a part of a deterrent that a man who wants to commit murder, he has this at the back of his mind, that the extreme penalty can be death.
All right, I do things we need to explore in the next 10 minutes. The deterrence argument and in the age of terrorism, is death the most effective punishment? Coming back with that and your questions after the break. You're watching We the People, the cases of Ajmal Kasab, and now the current debate around the Afzal Guru case have sparked a national debate over whether there's a need to rethink capital punishment and the death sentence. Before we go back to our panel, let's take some questions from the audience.
Why can't the statute book be amended to make such crimes, to make these convicts stay in jail in solitary confinement so that they live every day of their life and they regret what they've done rather than giving them closure?
Antara, would that be acceptable, or would people then say that even solitary confinement would then be described as cruel? And can terrorists reform?
I have really no clue whether terrorists can reform. But we've already established, I think, here that our justice system is not foolproof. Our justice system is...
Can make mistakes.
What we are doing is we are going for revenge rather than punishment. I'm not against retribution. We must not look at it as revenge, especially because we have a flawed system.
So
especially because there's public sentiment involved. We are constantly playing to the galleries. Politics is involved at every level, and if you think that there's, like Chandan made the point, that if there's conspiracy proved, then it's a very grave problem and it should have it should attract the death penalty. We had conspiracy proved in the Maya Kodnani case as well. We had conspiracy in many other cases which are political, where the death penalty was not applied.
Okay, let me allow Chandana rebuttal there. 2 points there. One, what is that line between revenge and justice? And secondly, when there are political cases, political parties respond differently.
As far as Maya Kodnani and other Gujarat cases, the fact is those cases are going on. And I don't think there's been any interference with the due process of law. And therefore, we must wait for the final verdict.
Okay, Justice Burgul,
I'd like to say something about the solitary confinement suggested by the young lady here.
Yes.
You see, the Supreme Court has already held in Sunil Batra's case that solitary confinement is unjust and it's inhuman and it's not permissible.
Okay, so then we are back to then the question as to where justice is served and where we confuse it with revenge. Let's take a question.
Statistically, it's been said that the punishment is a deterrent. It is not proven to be a deterrent. But this is about sending a message. It's a social contract between the people and the government. If the government of the country can show that we can mete out the highest punishment to the person who's going against our laws, it instills the confidence of the people in the government.
Vrinda, I think this is an interesting point made by the young boy here, that actually... it is not about the statistical deterrence, it is about the contract between a citizen and their state, because you look to the state for protection.
I think that actually is letting the state off very, very easily. The state, I want to know, what has the state done for security of the people of Mumbai post that? I mean, all the television programs that I saw said that most of the things that were recommended are not in place. But on the myth of deterrence, two very senior law persons here have said that this should be in the system, which means there is an admission that the system is not working as it should at the stage of prosecution. We have documentation of institutional bias, both against Kashmiris and against Muslims. My third point is, in fact, data shows us that prior to Bachchan Singh, when there was more death execution, the murder rate was higher. The murder rate has since come down with the falling of the death sentence.
Let me take this to Gopal
Subramanian. Where is this deterrence all
actually
about?
Even Abdul Kalam Chandan in his book talks about the fact that he actually moved on the Dhananjoy Chatterjee case, which before Kasab was actually the last execution that took place in India, and he found it very difficult to move on many of the other cases, because when he examined them, he found that there was an economic pattern in the cases that came to him. Is that something we need to take note of?
Yes, I think Vrinda's made a valid point. That is where I think the role of a public prosecutor becomes somewhat very important. It's important that when we impose the death sentence,
we have to
whether
know
it
that
is
it's
the court,
from...
whether it's the prosecutor, or even the president when the powers are exercised, has got to make sure that there is no element of latent bias.
So we're acknowledging that our systems can subconsciously...
Can I say something? President Abdul Kalam said that he had doubts because of the economic situation. Then he should have commuted the sentence. Why did it sit on the files?
Because here's where the politics, I think, comes into play. And they find it safer to sit on files and to take a decision.
But no, why should the president...
Generally speaking, I'm not making a judgment about any one president.
President back his recommendation.
That might be the wise thing to do. I'm not even saying it's necessarily wrong.
Judgment, but then to blame the political system for it is, I don't think, very fair.
So what is the alternative? Because we had Justice Burgul telling us that even solitary confinement is not an option. Chandan, I want to go back to your IC 814 point that has terrorism changed the debate? Let's take a question here.
If we are not giving giving capital punishment, let's say Kasab, the decision could have been taken before. You know, during this time, it gives the time to the plotters to think about what should be the next step and how this terrorist should be brought back.
You're saying the delay makes you feel more unsafe.
Unsafe because they give it give time to the plotters.
And can I add, Chandra?
Thank you.
Nobody's rebutted his argument that what did IC 814 tell us?
I thought I did, but I'm happy to repeat it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kenna, I'm very glad you said that. So what we are actually placing before ourselves is that this is a political issue. So therefore, the debate started with, oh, let's not bring politics into it. I'm afraid this is a very, very political issue. Why is Kasab attacking? There is something else. Have we put an end to it by hanging one Kasab? No, that is where your fear stems from. Can we take a vote here and say, we know for sure that after this, there will be no terrorist attack on India?
Are we safer?
These are political issues. I want to know.
Let me take this to the politicians.
Yes.
I think the point which Brinda is making, with respect, I disagree. No execution can ever be a guarantee against a failure of future crimes. Actually, I think there is no connection.
That brings out actually what Mr. Subramaniam really believes in, the futility of the death penalty.
No, I don't think he's saying that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying the argument for invalidating the death penalty
cannot
is
be enhanced that safety.
There is no efficacy in the penalty because there will be no future crime.
So then we come back to a philosophical question, and Sandeep, that question is this, that if it doesn't guarantee safety, is it then time for that reason to re-examine the capital punishment?
Whether it's a deterrent or not, I think as of today, we believe it is the right thing to do. And somewhere, we have to subserve the social conscience of the nation. It is not barbaric. It is not arbitrary. So I think ultimately, what we are doing is, somewhere in our social conscience, we want a particular punishment to be given to somebody who has hurt our collective conscience. Maybe sometime later, maybe even today, we need to constantly keep reviewing. Because no society is humane if it does not keep reviewing all its parameters, especially in punishment.
Yeah. Okay, I think I have to start taking last comments. But before I do that, just a few questions from the audience.
And when we are speaking about you, sir, Mr. Iftikhar, when people are acquitted, they are never free in the true sense of the word. You know, he still does not get an NOC.
I think you're making a very important point that does acquittal actually translate into freedom? That those are the fissures of a society that we need to spend more energy talking about. Let's take a question.
So what is this deterrent when the LET chief is actually reporting to Reuters saying that Kasab died a heroic death and there will be 10 more Kasabs? So why is capital punishment then seen as a panacea? Isn't it an eye for an eye, making the entire world blind?
Mr. Subramaniam.
For the purpose of a message, for the purpose of society, at least cohesively being heard, bound together by confidence in law, it is a necessary penalty.
Okay, question here.
Had this discussion been held in the context of the Supreme Court's recent call for discussion on the NDPS Act, where again death penalty is being discussed, I think the debate would have been less politicized. But then the true test of the debate would be, if we are pushed to the extreme of the circumstances, such as the Kasab's case, what would our reaction be?
That's actually moot. Let me start taking last questions. Nikhil, is there an alternative to capital punishment?
There is always an alternative. I also want to add here that that we've all focused so much on Kasab. We've really lost focus on the politicians who need to do so much more, on the security systems which need to be so much better, on basic amenities which are still not available to the people who are out there protecting.
So, okay, let's take a question.
No person is really born as a terrorist or a murderer. The society has changed that person, has transformed that person. Is it not the state's responsibility to transform, to reform that person back and change not as a social grievance?
Justice Murgul, do you want to take that?
Bachchan Singh's judgment takes care of it. It has laid down so many parameters in which event the death sentence should not be awarded. And what the young lady said is taken care of in that judgment.
Okay. Vrinda, if I can take her question to you. One of the things we haven't discussed is what happens when something is an act of war. The parliament attack case and the attack on Mumbai were both seen as attacks on the Indian state, and therefore they were considered as acts of war. Now, by definition, therefore, those in favor of capital punishment would say,
in an act of war,
yes,
if Pakistan attacks us formally, we take people left behind as prisoners of war.
Yes.
In Kasab's case, he's not a prisoner of war.
People who attacked parliament were killed there. So it's not as though those people were let off. They were killed by the security forces, which is what the security forces should do if somebody attacks the Indian parliament. So there is no dispute.
What's the alternative to capital punishment as we close? Last thoughts.
Well, first point, I don't think capital punishment is any alternative. So let's get capital punishment out of the way, because we actually have the option of giving life sentence both in our law and otherwise.
And then we'll take a question here. Yes.
Death penalty should definitely be there because, you know, it not only acts as a deterrent for the society, it also motivates the defense forces. Second, it should be uniform for all. People like Vikas Yadav or Sohrabuddin, they are just roaming around, they are having mobile phones. And its reform is by choice. You know, you can't put a person into solitary confinement and expect the person to change from his heart. It's by choice.
Okay, Antara, quickly, is there an alternative?
Yes, the alternative for me would be to clap them in jail, throw away the key. But the problem is that we have a flawed system. There is public sentiment that guides us in awarding a death sentence. There are, the judge's bias is very clear for the Graham Staines murder, if you remember. The judge actually said that Staines was killed by Dara Singh because he wanted to teach him a lesson.
So you're saying lock them up?
Therefore, no death penalty.
One last question.
Don't you think it's a deterrent for rapists and murderers in the country?
Chandan, half a second? Yes. Half a second by the watch.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Okay. There is no we collective consciousness when we talk about Bhullar's case, when we talk about what's happening otherwise, what Kashmiris are saying. So there is no weak consciousness in the country which is asking for death penalty. It is a fractured society today. So let's try and find a way of dialoguing between each other rather than hanging people and creating greater fissures.
There is no question of removing the death sentence from the statute books. And just because a few woolly-headed liberals are shouting themselves hoarse is no reason for the rest
what
of society.
What happens when mistakes are made?
What? You don't make mistakes? I don't make mistakes.
But I don't kill people. I don't send them to their death.
We all make mistakes. You see, but I don't believe the judges make mistakes.
We have already admitted to hanging people.
Judges are very proven fact.
Whether you believe it or not.
Okay, about this.
Just a minute. Can I give you the last sentence? I have to close.
The judges do make mistakes. That is the ground for abolition of the death sentence. But as long as it exists, it's a judge's duty to award it in the rarest of rare cases to a person who's beyond reformation.
We must end today not just with the closure that the sense of victims like Karuna Vaghela may feel, but also with the questions that an Iftikhar today is asking about what happens to the rest of his life. Did his acquittal even give him freedom? A subject that needs debate. Thank you very much. We'll have to leave it there. Many more questions than answers. We hope to continue the conversation on this very important subject. Thank you.